Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Bulls and on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. That text and voicemail line for all of your Bulls mailbag content, 331-979-1369. Again, that number, 331-979-1369. Save it in your phone as your favorite fellow Bulls fans over here at Locked On Bulls. Send us all of your Bulls thoughts, questions, comments, inquiries, concerns, ideas, hypotheticals, and we will get to as many of them as we can every week. Well, Jordan held down the fort yesterday. Here I am holding down the fort again today. Scheduling for the two of us has gotten a little bit more complicated than it was in recent years. And that's, of course, a good thing because it means he and I are doing lots of things in this beautiful world of sports media. And, of course, it does mean that we're not together for every episode as we would ideally like to be. But we still want to be here to provide content for you guys as often as we can, holding true to that 5 day a week promise. So Jordan did a really great episode for you guys yesterday talking about the recent Zach LaVine stories that have been going around. One of them about him talking about how he's sick of people trashing his defense. And then, of course, that other story that started with a Joe Cowley trash piece about Zach LaVine's comments about the mid-range game dying in the NBA. And it got blown so out of proportion that it ended up being a topic of conversation on ESPN's The Jump basketball program hosted by Rachel Nichols. So it's crazy. But I think Jordan did a really good job kind of fleshing out all of his thoughts on all of that stuff that has been going on with Zach LaVine over the last week or so in the media. And I, for the most part, agree with what Jordan had to say. And I like the fact that Zach is sticking up for himself. And I actually talked to Zach at the Bulls Charities Gala on Tuesday evening a little bit about the trashing his defense comments and about the mid-range stuff that just exploded. And he seemed to have a pretty clear understanding of why he thought certain people were being unfair, certain people, you know, misconstruing some of his comments. And that it was all just, you know, taken way out of context. But I also got the vibe from Zach that he is more confident than ever that all of this talk, all this chatter, whether it's about his defense or about players like Zach still wanting to find their opportunities to take and make those mid-range shots, it's just all noise. It's all noise and it's all going to go away when Zach LaVine has an all-star season. And that's what it's all going to be. It is all going to boil down to nothing other than noise. And maybe some of it is also stuff that Zach will use as motivation and fuel this season. Other things like him not being on the list of the 15 top shooting guards in the league that Bleacher Report did earlier this week. people saying some of those names at the back end of that list, you'd really rather have that player at the shooting guard spot on your team than Zach LaVine. Give me a break. But it's all fuel that Zach can use to prove people wrong, because I think seeing some of his comments about the people trashing his defense, seeing how frustrated he was with that absolute hack job piece by Cowley, misinterpreting his words and putting up a, you know, a shock value headline. Yeah, it's gonna piss him off a little bit. But he's going to, for the most part, let his game do the talking for him this season. And it was amazing to get to talk to Zach last night after all of this stuff had come out over the last couple of days. Our tables were actually right next to each other in the dinner portion of the Bulls Charities event last night. And so we were kind of just having a quick conversation in between some of the evening's events. And the dude is confident. I can say without a doubt, right, you know, from the horse's mouth, that is a confident cat right now. And we were doing a little bit of a photo op towards the end of the evening. And as we were saying our farewells to Zach, I was like, hey, man, you know, go get that all-star nod this season. And he looked at me and he said, it's in the bag, man. It's in the bag. And I 100% believe him. Dude is confident. So we will, it being Wednesday, get to some of your mailbag content that you guys have been doing a continuously phenomenal job putting into that text and voicemail line for us. I will get to as many of the new text messages as I can, and then hopefully Jordan and or I will get to some of the voicemails later on in the week. But before I get to that, just wanted to talk a little bit about and share some of the insanity of my experience from the Bulls Charities Gala that I was fortunate to attend on Tuesday evening. Of course, with NBC Sports Chicago being the exclusive home for all 82 Bulls games this season, there were a lot of NBC folk representing at the Bulls Charities event. And when they were handed an additional small batch of invitations, clearly Dave and John and I are not important enough to get the first batch of invitations, but they got a few extras. And our executive producer, Kevin Anderson, said, hey, do you guys want to go to this? And we all just said, duh. And so we were able to go. And first and foremost, I know that I've, ribbed the Bulls organization and the certain people at the top for maybe having weird relationships that are not about basketball that keep the figureheads where they are, and notably the relationship that Michael Reinsdorf's wife Nancy and Gar's wife have running this Bulls Charities organization together. And that maybe that is a certain level of a reason for the continued loyalty that exists between the ownership and the front office members. Kind of hard to ignore that Gar and Michael Reinsdorf's wives are very close friends who run this charity together. And maybe that's one of the reasons why nobody has gone anywhere through many turbulent years when it comes to evaluating job performance. And you can make those jokes tongue in cheek while also knowing that that very well could be a real reason why those bonds are so strong. But getting a up close firsthand look at some of the work that the Bulls Charities do, it's impressive. It's hard to roll your eyes and make jokes about, oh, well, the only reason Gar Forman still has his job is because that his wife and Michael Reinsdorf's wife are best friends. And they clearly wear the pants of those relationships. So Gar's not going anywhere. As long as those two are running Bulls Charities together, Gar's not going anywhere. It's easy to make those jokes. And I have. But the charity itself really is tremendous. And we're treated to a really interesting kind of Q&A with one of the counselors and one of the alums of the BAM program that is prominent here in the city of Chicago, Becoming a Man. And it was very moving. And for all the eye rolling you can do about Bulls charities and maybe an effect it has on the relationships at the top levels of the ladder of this organization, last night was pretty special and all about trying to help the city of Chicago, which very much is in need of as much help as it can get. And the Bulls definitely put their money where their mouth is in that aspect of what they do as an organization. And personally, the experience was just, I mean, silly. Something like a dream. Walking in and, you know, rubbing elbows with all these people. Had a nice chat with Daniel Gafford, who we will get to in our mailbag in a little bit. A lot of Bulls fans excited about him. He's a very nice guy. Ran into Archie and had a nice chat with him and his girlfriend. It was very nice. I mentioned my conversation with Zach LaVine about some of these stories in the media over the last couple of days. Luke Kornet, had a nice chat with him and his girlfriend. And we actually talked to Kornet about John's media day idea that didn't come to fruition about doing a fake bad infomercial about Luke Kornet's Kornets. And he thought it was hilarious. He was like, "Yeah, dude, we gotta record that sometime and put it up like on the new fancy Jumbotron at the United Center during a timeout or something." So that was really hilarious to see that John's silly idea actually is something that Luke Kornet was also enthusiastic about, got a kick out of. I met Chuck Swirsky for the first time. He could not have been nicer. Briefly met Neil Funk. Same, could not have been nicer. And I mean the big one for myself, and I know that Dave and John were equally floored, was getting to meet Tony Kukoc. I mean, as a kid who grew up a child of the 90s, and particularly just vividly remembering all of the great moments of that second three-peat team when I was just really falling in love with basketball and falling in love with the Bulls, I mean, Tony was the man. And even before MJ came back, you know, Tony's shot, the turnaround heave at the buzzer, some of those iconic moments where Tony would just glide to the basket with his grace or just bury threes. Awesome. Awesome, crucial element to that second 3P team. Sixth man of the year, the waiter. The fucking waiter! And we were chatting with him last night, which was just unbelievable. I posted some pictures on Twitter and Instagram as well. And there's one that our producer, Kevin Anderson's wife, Jenny, took a candid of us while the three of us were sitting there talking with Tony. And the looks on all of our faces while we're talking with Tony Kukoc just perfectly captured how we all felt. Not only talking to Tony, but just how we all felt being lucky enough to be in that building last night for the Bulls Charities Gala. I mean, it was the entire thing felt like a dream. Every 90 seconds, one of us would turn to the other and say, like, dude, what the hell are we doing here? Oh, man. The perks of being an outsider. Really, really enjoyable evening. And then, honestly, the other big takeaway from the evening was another long conversation that all three of us had with Bulls head coach Jim Boylan, who actually remembered us from when we attended the Bulls ping pong event earlier this year. And we had a chat about where the team was, where the team was heading. And Boylan came up to us while we were just sitting at our table as dinner was getting started and engaged us in a conversation. And then after dinner, as the event was winding down, he came back and found us again to continue that conversation. And I know that in some degree, in some level, Jim knows what our job is to be the voice of the fans on, you know, a late night post game show, and also use our show as an outlet to let other fans give their opinions. Those of you who follow and watch Outsiders, or at least know what it's about. A big part of the show is letting our fellow Bulls fans give their opportunities to speak their mind. You know, give their thoughts on the game, give their thoughts on the season, whether it's players, whether it's coaching. And I think Jim gets that and was working us last night in a way that was so completely charismatic and charming and hard to not like. I really like the guy. And Dave and I said that when we first met him at that event earlier this year. You know, and Dave always has this line where he's, you know, talked about how, you know, he wants to like Jim Boylan, the coach, as much as he likes Jim Boylan, the man. And I think there's no better way to put it than that. I completely agree, because I really like Jim Boylan, the man. So nice. Such a positive presence in the room. And at the same time, I could tell he was trying to work us last night. He was talking about, like, you know, some of these people who cover our team but don't really see what's really going on. You know, they're not at our practices, or, you know, they're not paying attention to the whole story. And I just want to be covered fairly. I want our team to be covered fairly. And I get that. And I think for the most part, whether it's here on Locked On Bulls or our Bulls Outsider show last season, which was a very tough one to endure, myself and my co-host here, Jordan, my co-hosts Dave and John on Outsiders, always try to be fair. Always. Fair, unbiased critique of what is really going on. And I told Jim, I was like, listen, man, not only can I tell you that after hearing lots of Bulls fans' thoughts over this offseason, some of the guys you got, you know, brought in and added to the roster, some of the moves you've made, and some of the things we're starting to see in these first preseason games, you know, people are excited. This fan base is excited. There is a range of what people see as the potential for this season and beyond, but the general sense coming into this season after such a dreadful year last year, and I told him that, dreadful year last year, but the sense right now is optimism. Absolutely 100% optimism based on the stride we could see this team take this season. And I said, but Jim, at the same time, I'm not going to lie to you, man. We are going to make jokes at your expense this season. We have to. Not only are we going to try to critique your job performance and the job performance of your players as honestly as we can, but there will be moments where, based on the way you operate and based on the way you engage with and talk to the media and some of the things you say, we're going to make jokes at your expense. And it's not a personal thing. It's part of what we do. Our job is to entertain our fellow Bulls fans and give them a voice. And guess what? If most of the Bulls fan base hears Jim Boylan say something or sees Jim Boylan do something on the sidelines or watch as Jim Boylan makes a decision late in the game that is a questionable one, and we see that and we as Bulls fans share that opinion, then we are going to, whether on this podcast or that show, say, hey, Jim, what the hell was up with that? So it was enjoyable to kind of feel like not only is Jim a very nice guy, and he invited us to come watch some practices. Hey, come sit in on these practices, really, you know, get a closer look at what we're doing here. You know, at the same time, when those thoughts and ideas are presented, I'm like, well, you know, we need to remain some level of Bulls outsiders. If we become Bulls insiders, then the entire purpose of that show is not what it was supposed to be. But he truly has, you know, had the sense of a guy who just wants to be covered fairly. And myself, Jordan, Dave, and John, we will all continue to try to do that. But it was funny to see him definitely trying to work us. And damn it, he's really good at it. He's really good at working people. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a dig on him to say he's good at working people. He's good at working people. It's just a simple fact. But as this season gets underway, we'll see. we will see what happens. But the entire experience at the Bulls Charities Gala was just indescribably cool. And as I said to Jim Boylan, there was a lot of optimism in the room last night from players, from the people, from various companies and organizations that were there, and from some low-level outsiders like myself and Dave and John. The energy in the room was palpable, and I love that. I'm so freaking excited for this season to start. So excited. We got one more preseason game left tomorrow, Thursday, against the Atlanta Hawks, which, by the way, you can catch us on Outsiders after that, directly following the game, no post game. So stay tuned on NBC Sports Chicago immediately following the game, and we will wrap up the preseason with a Bulls Outsiders episode. And then you can also catch us streaming on Periscope or the NBCS Bulls Talk Twitter page, as well as NBC Sports Chicago's YouTube channel. And then we have a 6-day wait until we actually get to play the season opener next Wednesday. So that will be a long, grueling wait, but we are getting closer. Inch by inch, minute by minute, day by day, we are getting closer. And I could not be more excited. So with that, let us get to some mailbag content. That number, 331-979-1369. Before we jump into mailbag, just a quick reminder that this show, today's episode, brought to you in part by the folks at Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping when you enter promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, let's do that mailbag jam. Here we go. First text comes to us from Kenny in Atlanta. Hey guys, just found out Josh Jackson was sent to the G League. What do you guys think of a Chris Dunn and possibly Valentine for Josh Jackson trade? I know he's in the G League for a reason, but it's somewhat to address the wing depth issue while also bringing in a prospect who was known for his defensive potential before the draft. This would also kind of fix the logjam at point guard. Obviously, it's too early for all of that, and maybe we owe Valentine a little bit more time to get some strength in his legs and get back into NBA shape, but I really want to know what you guys think about that possible trade. Thanks for the question, Kenny. I agree with you that as much as I like to rib Valentine, I would like to see over the first 10 or 15 games of the real regular season what he can bring to the table and if he can get back into game-playing shape. Because if he can be a hovering around 40% knockdown three-point shooter for that second unit and can also get his legs back under him and can actually play, 15 or 20 minutes a night, then he could be a useful piece this season. Can he stay healthy and can he get into NBA shape? I don't know. If you know me and my thoughts on Valentine, you know I certainly have my doubts. You're not wrong in that it would alleviate some of the logjam at the point guard spot if you include Chris Dunn in that trade. But it right now looks as though the Bulls are planning on using Dunn prominently in that second unit and even allowing him and Coby White to play together in the backcourt, because Coby White, as we're seeing in this preseason, can play off the ball fairly well and is not really a true point guard. And not, in many senses, we are watching with frustration to say, I think we are figuring out that Chris Dunn on the offensive end isn't really a true point guard either. So there's that. But you could at least get Chris Dunn's above average, if not elite, defensive contributions and let Coby White be the electric scorer that he is, playing them together in the second unit. And I think based on what we're hearing from Jim Boylan and what we're seeing in preseason, they could very much decide, all right, well, if we don't see a trade offer for Dunn that we really like and think is fair, we will continue to use him in our second unit and try to have his presence improve this team's defense, which was god-awful last year. And there are concerns about whether or not it could make a significant jump to being at least a mediocre NBA defense this season. Keeping Dunn around could certainly help in that regard. And then as for Josh Jackson, I mean, Kenny, you said it yourself. He's in the G League for a reason. There is maybe some disappointment based on the potential, what everybody saw for a potential Josh Jackson stardom at the NBA level. But everything that has happened to and around Josh Jackson, and a lot of that being of his own making, has not gone well. And for a team that's trying to change the culture, build a semblance of some kind of a winning culture, a positive culture after everything this team has been through, introducing a wild card like that, to me, is not wise and would not necessarily outweigh in a positive way what he would bring to the core as a player. So those are my thoughts on all of those elements of that hypothetical trade. This one is an interesting one, and it's for any of you fantasy basketball players out there. Comes to us from the 630, Chris in Wheaton. Shout out Wheaton. I grew up in Glen Ellyn, one town over. Hey guys, so this is a part Bulls, part fantasy question here. Zach came back from his ACL injury to put up great numbers in 63 games last year, then sat out at the end due to a minor injury and load management. I really want him to be the Bull on my fantasy team, and I think he's being very undervalued if healthy, but I'm still worried that he'll be held out again just in time for the fantasy playoffs due to load management if the Bulls are not in playoff contention. So I wanted to know if you think it's more likely that that will happen, or if Zach, after playing 77 and 82 in his first 2 years, then getting hurt, getting traded, recovering from the major injury and posting great numbers last year, will, at still very sprightly age of 24, put the injury concerns behind him and enter his all-star caliber prime without being held back at the end of the year due to load management or tanking concerns. So, interesting question. Do I think that the Bulls will be in a point at the end of the season where they are sitting Zach LaVine, which for all of you fantasy basketball players out there would mean right when you are needing your roster, your fantasy roster, to be performing at their peak, Zach might be in street clothes because the Bulls have been eliminated from the playoffs, and why risk injury to your most important piece? That is certainly a possibility. Knowing what Zach and also his sidekick Lauri Markkanen said at Media Day a couple weeks ago, it sounds like they have a very similar goal of playing as many or as close to 82 games as possible this season. And I see no reason why both of them, let alone just Zach, shouldn't do that. But again, on the flip side of that coin, I think the Bulls are going to win somewhere between 35 and 38 games this season, which would still be a marked improvement from last year, but would likely leave them on the outside looking in when it comes to making the playoffs, even in a weak, if not, you know, getting weaker, Eastern Conference. So it's a question of, do I think the Bulls are going to be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs by the time they hit maybe like that final stretch of 8 games going into April? Based on my projections, if they're not already mathematically eliminated by that final stretch of 8 games, I think they'll be close. And again, that final part of the schedule, 5 of those final 8 are a 5-game West Coast road trip where they will have to play, among others, the Utah Jazz, going to be a very good team, we think, and both LA teams, the Clippers and the Lakers. So I think if the Bulls are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs when they start that West Coast road trip, they will be at some point during that road trip or by the end of it. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just saying based on what I see from this team, that's how I think that the end of the season's going to go. They're going to be in the hunt still in the middle of March and towards the back end of March. I believe that they will still be within reach of that eighth playoff seed. But I think they're going to come up short. Now, even that being the case, until that team is 100% mathematically eliminated, you know that LaVine will be playing. And honestly, if it's up to the Bulls and they are mathematically eliminated with some number of games left on the schedule, I would guess that they would say, all right, Zach, load management, we're going to shut you down. Even if he says, I want to play, I want to finish the season strong, you know, minimize risks when you don't need to take risks. So as far as having Zach LaVine on your fantasy team, I'm sorry to tell you, I do think that that is a concern. It's a risk. You just have to weigh how badly you want Zach. And I agree, based on, you know, where I've seen Zach going in fantasy drafts, that he is being undervalued for the kind of production we're expecting from Zach this season. So he could be a stud for you all season long, but there will be a risk of him not still being on the court when you're getting into your fantasy basketball playoffs. I know that that's not really a great answer for you, because all I did was basically tell you, hey, yeah, it's possible that they sit Zach because they're out. You just got to weigh that versus how badly you want him on your team. I mean, I know that my buddy John Sabine drafted Zach and Lowry for one of his fantasy teams and is very happy about it. I draft Zach. Draft him in a heartbeat. Okay. The next text message comes to us from Casey from the 219. Just a stray thought. What if Lowry has a year where he doesn't improve statistically because we've added more talent around him? That way we can sign him to an extension that isn't maxed out. If the Bulls miss the playoffs to get a lottery pick and sign Lowry to a less expensive contract, would that be better for the team in the long run? This is another interesting hypothetical that I hadn't really thought about. I see your point. And say Lowry has more of a, you know, just a piece of the puzzle role as opposed to, you know, growing into a all-star caliber player like we are expecting to see from Zach this season. But because of that, the Bulls are able to sign him to a new contract that is not paying him max money. All the while, the Bulls maybe miss the playoffs again. Maybe they get lucky in the lottery. Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, that situation could work out very well for them. But you know what I would take 100 times out of 100 over that? Lowry developing into an all-star caliber player right now, and the Bulls paying him the money he deserves when that day comes. Because that is another way that we could actually put the Bulls ownership and front office on the line to say, this is what you tell us when we question how you spend your money, or in parentheses, don't spend your money when you're making, you know, penny pinching deals to free up a few extra $100,000 here or there with other teams, helping them with their clerical work, but never spending big money on players, on talent. You could put that to the test if you're still getting Zach LaVine for the next 3 years on a great bargain deal, and if Lowry turns into a max contract kind of player, the Bulls have no choice but to sign him to a max deal and continue to pay players to build around him. Because they've said, we don't like to go spend, you know, over the cap and pay a luxury tax for a team that's not going anywhere. And I completely see the logic in that. And I don't really have any complaints about it. I mean, you can call him cheap for having that approach, but why pay the luxury tax for a terrible team? It doesn't make any sense. And they've always said, if we're in a window where we're contending, we're, you know, trying to, you know, strive for the next level, deep playoff run, championship contention, then yes, we will. pay above the cap and pay a luxury tax. All right, well, here's another hypothetical for you. Lowry turns into a max-level player. Zach LaVine is a max-level player. You have these pieces around them, and the Bulls are one piece away from really looking like contenders. All right, Reinsdorf, put your money where your mouth is. Sign Lowry to a max and go into the luxury tax if you have to field the best team possible. That's something I would much rather see than Lowry having an underwhelming year and the Bulls signing him to a cheaper extension. I get your hypothetical, and it is a positive alternative, I suppose. But for all the hype around Lowry, I would much rather see him turn into a guy this year, year three, who's on his way to getting a max deal. Because isn't that what we're trying to see this rebuild turn into? A real contending team with Zach and Lowry at its core? That's what we want to see. I don't want to see another underwhelming season from Lowry. No. I want to see him show us stuff this season. I want him to show the Bulls front office that, hey, a little ways down the road, you're going to be signing me to a max extension. Because I'm a max extension caliber player in this league. That is what I want 100 times out of 100. Thanks for the question, though. Interesting one. This next text comes to us from the 773. Four games played already in preseason. Chicago media has set the bar very high for Zach LaVine. It's going to be exciting watching him. I would agree. I'm probably being overdramatic, but I think this Bulls team can win the division. Pacers are going to have a tough time with a lot of new players and injuries like Oladipo. I think this is the year where the Bucks fall off a cliff or prove to us they are a dynasty in the making. With all the questions surrounding Giannis and that Bucks offense, the pressure gets to them this year one way or another. Thanks for your thoughts. Yes, you are being overdramatic or overly optimistic. I don't think this is C-Red Fred's phone number. I mean, come on. Win the division. Win the division. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills reading that. No. No. Love your optimism, but no. One of the teams in our division has the reigning MVP of the league. The reigning MVP of the freaking league. And yes, we're going to talk this season about how much of a hit it is that the Bucks take losing Malcolm Brogdon going over and joining that Pacers team. Yes, the Pacers might struggle this season without their leader, Oladipo, who's probably not coming back until January or maybe February. But I mean, the Bucks falling off a cliff? I don't see it. I think that their roster didn't get considerably worse. Brogdon is a big hit, but they also added some nice pieces. And they kept Brook Lopez. You know, they still have Middleton. Bledsoe, you know, we're not sure what's going on with him and his health and his injury concerns. But, I mean, that Bucks team, to suggest that this Bulls team could somehow leapfrog Milwaukee. Milwaukee would need to, I guess as this texture said, fall off a cliff. Something crazy would have to go wrong. Or Giannis would have to go down for the Bucks to not win the division this year. Detroit's going to be a team that's in the hunt for the 7th or 8th seed, assuming that Blake and Derrick Rose and Drummond stay healthy. But, I mean, come on. Win the division. Stop. I mean, set whatever sights you want, but just realize that you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you're talking about the Bulls sneakily competing to knock off Milwaukee for the Central Division title this year. How about playing 500 basketball before we talk about winning the division? How about that? How about not losing 60 of 82 games before talking about winning the division. How about that? All right, now time for a little Gafford love on Mailbag. Hey guys, Kyle from Dayton, Ohio. Is Gafford the steal of the draft or what? I still can't wrap my head around how he fell so far. Gafford reminds me of young Tyson Chandler. Thank you. I agree. I agree with you, Kyle. There is a lot of young Tyson Chandler in what I've seen from Gafford. And let's double up while we're giving Gafford some love. This one comes to us from the 815. With the way Gafford's been playing throughout the preseason so far, do you still see him playing with the Windy City Bulls for a lot of the season, or do you see him moving up and playing with the big boys on the actual roster? Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Thank you for listening, and thanks for using that mailbag text line. I chatted with Gafford a little bit at this Bulls charities event last night, and I told him how much I enjoyed watching him play in these preseason games. He does very much remind me of young Tyson Chandler. He seems like a kid who's very confident, I think, and I talked a little bit about it on my solo episode Monday. There is a sense I'm getting that for whatever reason, he fell as far as he did, and we did think maybe because of that there's still some developmental issues and he's going to be a project, but Gafford is farther along than I thought he would be. And I know it's hard to use preseason as any kind of reliable measuring stick, but it's the motor that is unquestionable. Whether preseason or regular season, the motor has been the most impressive thing. And that is true regardless of what else is going on the court. Not just the blocked shots, but like in that one preseason game where he had like five or six steals, diving on the floor for loose balls. And of course, the sheer athleticism at the rim, not just on the defensive end blocking shots, but attacking the basket and crashing the offensive boards. And he has a really impressive second jump. When they talk about players who are going up for a tip in or going up for a shot and then it's a short rebound, and then some players have the advantage of having a very quick, very high second jump immediately upon hitting, coming back down, feet on the court to jump again. And, our old pal Dennis Rodman was one of the greatest in the NBA to ever do that. The multiple effort jumps when you're crashing the boards. Gafford has a really impressive second jump to me. And that sprightly second jump and that frame and his hands, his big ass hands, and the way that he is able to corral rebounds and attack the offensive glass, everything about it I love. Now the question of, will he get a lot of time playing with the big boys this season? It's tough to know. Can't wait to see what Boylan's rotation looks like in their first 10 or so regular season games, assuming everyone is healthy, assuming the Luke Kornet turf toe is behind him, and that Wendell Carter and his nagging injuries from training camp and preseason are behind him. Where does Gafford fit in? And I think it's going to come down to a nightly matchup thing. Because, I thought that he was going to spend most of his season in the G League. I did. Upon drafting him, and especially upon the addition of Luke Kornet, I thought, all right. And then you also add Thad Young to your front court. You talk about the Bulls wanting to play Lowry at the five more this season. Everything about it added up to Gafford's probably not going to get a lot of run with the real team this season. But the way that he has displayed not only his skills but his effort level in these preseason games, it's harder to say with great confidence that they're just going to stick him in the G League all year, because they can use a lot of what he brings to the table. So I still think more nights than not, you will see Luke Kornet getting more consistent, more regular minutes than Daniel Gafford. You will see Thad Young on the court late in games because he is a veteran that Jim Boylan will immediately grow to trust. And you will probably see Luke Kornet getting some late third quarter, early fourth quarter minutes because of the shot blocking and floor spacing that he provides. So where does that fit Gafford into the rotation? I don't know. I guess we'll see. But, I mean, it's clear, obviously, that if at any point any of those other guys miss time with injury, Kornet, Markkanen, Wendell, Thad Young, that Gafford is next man up for front court minutes. We all know easily at this point that he has surpassed Chris Felicio as far as how useful can you be in an NBA game. I mean, that's just simple. But right now, I would say Gafford's probably going to split his time between the Windy City Bulls and the big boys. Thanks for the question. All right, let's get one more and then let's get out of here. Hey, Jordan and Matt, this is Alexis from Turlock, California. Has anyone else noticed that you can kind of confuse LaVine with Satoransky? I'm wondering if it's only a TV view and on court if it's different. If this happens on court, I definitely think it could be advantageous to the Bulls considering LaVine is such a threat from three and driving the lane. A defender can easily confuse Satoransky for LaVine and the spacing would be different. I don't know. What do you guys think? Well, you're not crazy. I have noticed that when you're watching on TV that you can, when just kind of getting a view for all 10 guys on the court, confuse LaVine and Satoransky. They got similar builds. You know, they both, you know, like, not that they share, like, some physical traits, but there's something about them that looks kind of similar, and they also kind of move in similar ways. So I've definitely noticed that. I have definitely already confused Satoransky for LaVine and vice versa when I'm watching this team. As far as, is that the same thing on the court? I mean, it's possible, although I would guess not as likely as easy as it is to get them confused when you're watching on TV. But the one thing I will say when it comes to LaVine and Satoransky is, you know, maybe opposing teams will get them mixed up and get lost on defense, and that will help the Bulls offensively this season. Maybe not. What I do know, without a doubt, and it's another thing I talked with Zach LaVine about last night, is how much Satoransky is going to help his game. It's going to be a humongous help for Zach to be playing along with Satoransky. And not just the, you know, the stuff that we've talked about repeatedly. He's a, you know, high assist turnover ratio guy, low efficiency, low usage, high efficiency, all that stuff that's going to let Zach be the focal point of this offense. And Satoransky can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He can play one through three. All of those things that we know already about why we like the Satoransky signing. But to hear the way Zach talks about playing with Satoransky on the court and the ways that Satoransky's already done so much work since signing here in the offseason, studying Zach's game, watching tape of Zach, and figuring out the best places that Zach likes the ball on the court, and figuring out the best ways that he can help Zach achieve new heights this season. And not just Zach, but every player. Satoransky is such a high IQ player who is putting in the work to get to know the tendencies and preferences of where his teammates want the ball and where his teammates are more efficient when Satoransky is the one operating on the ball, and the ways that Satoransky can be the most efficient player when he is the one playing off the ball based on the spaces on the floor where his teammates like to be. Zach was gushing about all of this, and, you know, Satoransky was just, you know, one table over on the other side as we're having this conversation, and clearly Zach is not shy about how much he knows that Satoransky is going to help him this season. This Bulls team that's going to do a lot of the multi-ball handler thing, and we're already seeing evidence of them increasing the pace. using, you know, transition offense opportunities. And, of course, shoot all the threes you want, Zach. When you're playing off the ball, Satoransky can knock down those threes as well. Get some more possessions in every game. Attack the basket. Shoot threes. We're hearing all the right things. We're seeing all the right things. And Zach LaVine is very much a happy camper now that Satoransky is here. It's going to do a lot for this Bulls offense. All right. I think that's it. We'll get out of here for the day. Just a reminder, you can hit that text to voicemail line anytime you want, 331-979-1369. We will try to get to some more of our mailbag content maybe on Friday's show when hopefully Jordan and I are back together. And until then, keep them coming. Lots to look forward to, lots to think about, lots to talk about. If you have any thoughts on the recent Zach LaVine media explosion, whether it's him talking about his defense or the Cowley article that led to the jump conversation, that led to the Boylan comments about the death of the two-point mid-range game, and Zach's thoughts on that, or your thoughts on how all of that was handled by Zach and by the media. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'm sure Jordan would too. 331-979-1369. Until next time, Bulls Nation, Matt Peck saying, thanks so much for listening. As always, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com